Well, good morning, Sunrise Community Church Online. It is so good to have you here with us again this week, our second week streaming services online. We're thrilled that you decided to join us, and we're excited. God is at work in our community. It has been so fun in this last week to see how God's people, in the midst of seeming limitations having been placed upon us by our government authorities, but to see God's people saying, how can I reach out to my neighbor? How can I go outside and talk across the street to my neighbor? How can I go get groceries for my neighbor? How can I call somebody that's in their home that might not have email and internet and access to Facebook and some of those things and just spend some time encouraging them? And we have seen you doing those exact things in this past week. And so I'm encouraged. I have to say, I truly am encouraged that God is not at work in spite of this coronavirus pandemic, but that God is work in it. And specifically, I've seen people slowing down. I've seen people starting to take more time to get to know their neighbors, to spend time with their family. Even this week, my family was able to slow down and we had breakfast together, and we even did a family devotion, which as a pastor, I have to confess to you, is not something we do all the time. But this week in our family devotion, we went to Psalm 62, and I'd love to start out our service reading that for you this morning. And it simply says this, Psalm of David, 62, "Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from Him. Truly He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken." He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. And if I can encourage you this morning, as we're heading into worship together, even though it's over the internet and out in the ether or in the air, our God will never be shaken. He's a fortress, and we will never be shaken because He is our fortress. And so I'm excited to start our service off that way this morning. So let's join together in prayer and let's see what the Lord has for us. Father, we just lift this morning to You. May this service, even online, even out over the Ethernet and internet and all of that, may this service be something that is honoring to You, and may it be something that You use to bring glory to Yourself, that people would know You and trust You, and to be able to live at peace with You right now. We commit it to You in the name of Jesus. Amen. So we just have a couple of announcements this morning. Before we get started, we're going to have a worship time this morning together. We're thrilled to have Jake and Lauren Kurtz with us that will be leading us with a few songs. And then we'll be hearing from the Word of God from Pastor Luke Miller all the way up in Canada as he's recorded a service, a message for us here this morning. But first, a couple of announcements for you. Number one, I want to remind you that your church is still working even if our doors are closed. Our entire pastoral team have switched to where we're working from home. We are connected with our various teams using Zoom for online meetings, actually reaching out and calling each other on the phone, and not just talking through how ministry continued to happen, but actually making that happen. We formed some care teams who are there to start to reach out to people that may not have internet, may not have email, and be able to get some of the updates for the church. So we want to attempt to contact people, make phone calls. We want to connect people with opportunities in the community to serve where there are people that have greater needs. And so those are things that we're working on right now. We'll continue to have our online service every week. And if you're wondering how we'll be communicating, we will continue to have emails. A great way to be up on that is by signing up for our e-news simply going to sunrise.church, and on our homepage, there's a place right there where you can sign up to receive the e-news as that comes out. And we'll also be making updates on our Facebook page on a fairly regular basis. Even this last week on Thursday, we were able to have a Pastor's Live forum on Facebook Live, and several people were able to join us, and we just talked about some of the things that God's been doing in the midst of this and how ministry continues to happen, how God continues to work through Sunrise. So those things will continue to happen through this season of not having the doors open of the church, but we're really praying that the church is happening through you out in your neighborhoods. Another thing that we want to be sure that you know about is out in front of the church office right now, we have these bags. And you might be wondering, well, Cliff, what is in that bag? There are 20 cards in here, and each one of these is a simple thing. It says, "Hello, if you are self-isolating, I can help." And a place where you can put your name on there, where you live, your phone number, and you can check some boxes of how you can help your neighbors by getting them urgent supplies, sending mail for them. You might be able to go to the grocery store on their behalf, and you can pick these up in front of the church office. So they're there, even if we're under this mandatory stay in your home thing. On your way to the grocery store, stop by the church office, and right out front you can get a bag full of 20 of these cards. Another important announcement that we wanted to let you know is that for this season, we continue to watch very carefully with what the state, what our county is mandating as far as activities for groups of people. And so at this point, we've canceled all events and activities on campus through April 10th. And that's just a decision we were able to make this week based upon the information we had. We'll continue to update dates and be praying about whether we'll be able to have an Easter service here at the church or whether we'll be doing it online. And so you can be watching for more information about that. And then, as I mentioned last week also, we continue to believe that that the act of giving and tithing is a part of our worship. And so we continue to encourage you to give towards Sunrise and the ministry of Sunrise, probably now more than ever. Literally, the benevolence needs don't stop. In fact, they are getting greater. And the ways that Sunrise can reach out do not stop. They are becoming more. And so I can't think of a better time to be investing into the ministry of Sunrise through giving. And with that, I want to remind you, we have a few options for that. One of which, you can text give by simply texting the letters Sunrise CC to the number 77977. You can always go online to sunrise.church/give. And you can mail a check into the office, and we'll be sure that you get giving credit for that. So those are the ways you can give, and so we're going to take this moment now and pray for our offering online, and then we're going to jump into the rest of our worship service together. So, Father, as we are together on this Sunday morning, all over the place in homes, maybe looking on a TV or watching on a smartphone or whatever it is, it's amazing to know that that your body is still one, that you are still in control, and that God, you are alive and you are active, you are doing great things. And so, Father, this morning we commit this offering to you, Lord, that you would just multiply it and do an incredible work through it in the name of Jesus. Amen. And so I'd like to invite you now to join us as we worship together, Jake and Lauren.
Tyrese a hallelujah in the presence of my enemies. I raise a hallelujah louder than the unbelief. I raise a hallelujah. My weapon is a melody. I raise praise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm gonna sing in the middle of the storm, louder and louder. You're gonna hear my praises roar up from the ashes. Hope will arise. Death is defeated. The King is alive. As I raise a hallelujah with everything inside of me, a hallelujah. I will watch the darkness flee. I raise a hallelujah in the middle of the mystery. I raise a
sing a little louder.
Oh, heaven comes to fight. turn to heaven, I spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness, your loving kindness shone through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is risen. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Who could imagine so great a mercy? What heart could fathom such boundless grace? The God of ages stepped down from glory to wear my sin and bear my shame. The cross is spoken, I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, my living hope. Hallelujah, praise the one who set me free. Hallelujah, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. Salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living hope. Then came the morning that sealed the promise. Your buried body began to in your name, Jesus Christ.
Good morning, Sunrise, and welcome to your living room. This is a very interesting situation where I get to come to you down in California while I'm still up here in Canada, and there seems to be chaos kind of going around everywhere as we start to adjust to what is the new reality of church, of community life, and actually how we have to do community and church life together. And even more so, building on what we talked about a couple weeks ago, which was, how do we really take a look at who our neighbor is? Now, I'm coming to you live in front of an imaginary audience, and I realize that you are sitting in your living room, probably eating breakfast, bacon and eggs, probably in your pink fuzzy bunny slippers or however you've decided to dress for church this morning. Let me just say that this doesn't seem like a very fair deal that's going on here. That you are getting to just sit back, relax, feet on the furniture, and I'm up here having to work while you just relax and eat more bacon. But you know what? I'm fine with it. I'll have my bacon later. We're starting a series, or actually I guess you could say we're continuing a series from last week where Cliff really started to talk about God in control. What does God look like in times of chaos? And this morning I want to continue on that line. I want to take a look at Romans chapter 15 and really take a look at Paul in his journeys as he writes to the people of Rome. People who he really wanted to come visit, people who he really wanted to connect with, yet his plans kept on changing and he never quite made it there. And so I think it's probably very fitting, given our current circumstances, that life is constantly changing. For you this week, it's probably changed from day to day, if not from morning to night, if not from hour to hour, and so you probably found yourselves in an ever-changing world and in an ever-changing context, yet the question of who is my neighbor, which we asked a couple weeks ago, hasn't changed. God being on mission and what God's mission is hasn't changed either. The only thing that has changed is our own context of where we find ourselves right now. So if you've got your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 15. We're going to be reading from verses 22 through 29 and really taking a look at what it means for us to expect the unexpected. I think that Paul firmly believes that this is just part of the norm for him. When unexpected things happen, Paul understands that this is God leading him in different directions. So as we take a look at this morning, I want us to keep it in the back of our minds that Paul's life was constantly changing. Not just from one place to the next, but the overall situation of where he may have found himself. He could be in a church one week and then found himself in prison the next. This passage, even though it's not exhaustive, I think will give us some good insight into these matters when we take a look at being in our comfort zones to being outside of our comfort zones and how we need to react. So let's take a look. If you've got, again, your Bibles, Romans chapter 15, we're reading from verses 20 to 29. This is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. But now there is no more place for me to work in these regions. And since I've been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there after I've enjoyed your company for a while. Now, however, I am on my way to Jerusalem in the service of the Lord's people there. From Macedonia and Achaia, we're pleased to make a contribution to the poor living in Jerusalem. They were pleased to do it, and indeed they owe it to them, for if the Gentiles have shared in the Jews' spiritual blessings, they owe it to the Jews to share with them their material blessings. So after I have completed this task and have made sure that they have received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on your way. I know that when I come to you, I will come with the full measure of the blessing of Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've realized this over the last couple weeks, but our plans tend to change, don't they? Our plans tend to get hindered. Sometimes the things that we want don't really come to fruition. Sometimes the days that we expect to happen don't even end up looking like what we had wanted them to. I don't know if you've ever gotten up in the morning and said, it is a great day. And you go walking downstairs and you have breakfast and you go to work and everything is just great. Except that's not really what happens. As you're lying in bed, that's what you want to happen. But then you get up and you take that first step out of bed, and what do you find? That one little piece of Lego that's been left out that digs right into your foot. And as you're hopping on one foot, because of the pain that's shooting through it from the Lego, you stub your toe on the edge of the bed. After you hobble down the stairs, you open up the fridge, you get out your favorite cereal, Fruity Pebbles, and take out the milk, except there's no milk. And then you finally go outside and you're ready to go and you forgot to plug in your car and it won't start because it's too cold. I realize that last one probably has never affected you. The only plugging you do into your car is for a hybrid. I'll explain one day what it means to be getting up in the morning when it's minus 40 outside and you haven't plugged in your car. That's another sermon or maybe another rant for another day. The plans change, don't they? Yet I think that what we see right from here is that often our plans are hindered. And Paul, we see right from the beginning, is saying this. In verse 22, this is why I have often been hindered from coming to you. This verse is really tied to what we've been looking at with plans and understanding our neighborhoods and understanding where God is calling us and where we want to be called, yet realizing where God is truly calling us. Two very separate things. Often we express what we would like to be done, and then when God expresses what he would like to have done, it looks a little different, doesn't it? The word hindered here means to cut in or to cut off, or more realistically, to interrupt. He was on his way to Rome, planning on going to Rome, and all of a sudden things changed. And while sometimes our plans change, I want to argue this morning that even in a place of change, even when it feels like our plans have been hindered, God's plans have not changed. God's mission has not changed. Our place of ministry, though, will sometimes change. After devoting a lot of attention to connecting the disconnected to Christ, Paul sensed that he had completed the task and that he had been given something else to do. And we have to understand that for us as Sunrise, it says right on our website that we're supposed to be connecting people to Jesus and equipping them to be growing as faithful followers of Jesus. We need to be connecting people with Jesus. The mission has not changed. Our place of ministry has. Whereas only a couple weeks ago, we were meeting and gathering in a church building together and inviting people in together and then saying, how do we go out from this church and impact our neighborhood? Now we're at a point where we're gathering in front of our computers or our smartphones or our TVs and saying, what is my place of ministry? How can I actually impact the people around me? Paul was constantly going through this change, and we have to realize that sometimes our place of ministry is going to change, and that's God leading us to something new. Take a look at the first part of verse 23. But now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, Paul realizes that the places where he needs to be has changed. The calling has not changed. God's mission has not changed, but where he has to do that has changed. Here's where this really starts to come into effect for us. our neighborhoods just got a whole lot smaller. Knowing that we may be able to walk outside and we may know our neighbors around, but lots of us probably aren't going into work over the next couple weeks. Schools are out. And we're faced with the reality that the neighbors around us are probably in or might be in a place where they need you. Are we willing to now look at our neighborhoods and God really forcing us on changing our priorities and looking at the neighborhoods that are right around us? The people that are to our right and to our left. And I'm hoping that us realizing that our place of ministry may have changed where we're not volunteering for Kids Club or we're not running that Bible study because we can't right now or that Sunday school. Now all of a sudden God's saying, you know what? I want you to be doing the same thing except it's going to change and look a little different and the place is going to be a little different. But are we willing to accept that? Our personal preferences should probably be taken a little lightly here. While it's important for us to express our desires, we want what we want might not be what God wants. See this in the last part of verse 23 and verse 24. And since I have been longing for many years to see you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to visit you while passing through and to have you assist me on my journey there. I have enjoyed your company for a while. We hear in this emotion that is there. This longing, this planning, this needing to be with them. Now here Paul is expressing his emotions and his want to be there. And I think it's important for us to realize that we need to be able to do this as well. Obviously, here I am up in Saskatchewan. For those of you who are new here, I'll just take 5 seconds and let you take out your smartphones and Google what is a Saskatchewan. But for the rest of you, I'm up in Canada. Yet here I am waiting to go down to California. But does that mean that I don't have a ministry here? Absolutely not. God has put me in this place for such a time as this. Just like God has put you in your houses and in your neighborhoods right now for such a time as this, for the context that's going on right now in California. Paul expresses a whole lot of emotion in this passage, especially in this small section, because it's something that he's wanting to do. I went down to a conference in Galveston a couple years ago. Actually, quite a few years ago. And it was a youth pastors conference. And I remember the first day we all sat down in this room, and there's probably about 30 of us. And we all sit down, the doors close, and the speaker gets up, and he says, "All right, I want us to talk about our feelings." And if you looked around, you will never see more panic in a room than when you see a bunch of youth pastors who are normally playing dodgeball all of a sudden have to talk about their feelings. And there was a sense of panic that was going on. We were looking for the exits and everything, right? We didn't want to be honest in many ways with complete strangers. But as we take a look at this even now for where we are, we're going to need to be very honest with those around us and very honest with our neighbors. And we need our neighbors to be honest with us as we reach out and say, Is there any way that we can help you? Is there any way that we can come alongside you with what you're going through right now? God is in control. That hasn't changed. Even in the chaos, God is in control. Even when it feels like life is out of control, God is in control. Yet we have to be willing to accept that. We have to be willing to accept the place where God has put us in ministry at this very moment. We have to be willing to say we can set aside some of the priorities that we had to put to the forefront the priorities that God has for us right now. But are we willing to do that? Note that Paul doesn't even set a date for what's going on here. He doesn't want to make promises that he can't keep. And that's good practice because, in fact, what happens is Paul doesn't even end up getting there. But our priorities in all of this should be held lightly. While it's important to express our own desires, there's a whole lot more going on here. Paul expresses his preference to come to them, but look at what's happened along the way in verse 25 and to 27. All of a sudden, two groups of people have decided that they wanted to donate to the poor of Jerusalem. And Paul says immediately, this is something that's more important. No matter how much I want to visit you, this is more important. God is opening doors for me to get to Jerusalem, where it says right at the very beginning that he's closing doors in the current region where Paul is serving. Immediately a priority shift happens, and Paul recognizes it, and he goes. He sees where God is calling, and he immediately goes. The priorities shift. His personal preferences have to change, but even more so here, we see that this is something even further, and it goes to looking at the poor. This whole direction that Paul was going was going to take him hundreds of miles, the opposite direction of where he was supposed to be going and where he wanted to go, yet he found himself in Jerusalem. I think throughout this all, that as you look at Paul's story and look at where he's leading them, you see that he wants to go one place, yet God is calling them another. I mean, we see this throughout the Bible, don't we? Kind of all different places of where God says, hey, I need you over here. And then the person says, whoa, that looks a little tough. I'm going to go this way. Right? Jonah is the classic example. Here's a guy who God's saying, I need you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah says, you know what? Instead, I'm going to go on a Mediterranean cruise, the opposite direction of Nineveh. Paul, on the other hand, hears where God is calling and decides not to go to Rome, but goes to Jerusalem. I guess the question for us this morning is, what is our Jerusalem? We may want to gather this morning. I hope we wanted to gather this morning to go to church and see each other in person. But instead we find ourselves in our homes with family or wherever we may find ourselves listening to God's word, a different setting, a different type of communion together. But do we think that because our context has changed, that God will not prevail? Do we think that even though we can't gather in our church on Sunday, that God's mission will not prevail? No, we don't believe that. We don't believe that for one bit. We know that God will prevail. We know that God wins. So what are we waiting for? God's purposes will prevail despite the chaos around us. God's purposes always prevail. No matter how messed up our plans get, or wherever we end up in ministry, or whether our ministry context changes, whether or not our personal preferences are fulfilled, whatever it may be, God's purposes will prevail, and he's asking us to join him on mission. Paul did make it to Rome, but not the way he had imagined. Instead of jumping quickly onto the next ship or onto the next caravan heading to Rome, he didn't find himself there. In fact, instead, we see that he was dragged out from the temple, beaten severely, arrested, and put in prison for 2 years before he was ever put on a boat to Rome. That is not what Paul had in store. Again, what started as one ministry ended up as something else. There's no doubt that we're going to go through suffering. There's no doubt that we're going to go through trials. There's no doubt that at times it'll seem like things are way too rough and for God to be in control. But until we realize that God is in control, are we holding ourselves back from ministry? Rather than coming alongside God as he's saying, hey, I've got a plan for everything that's going on here and I want you to be a part of it. Listen, there's ways. Let me put it this way. I have never experienced childbirth. Now, I'm sure that's a given. But Sarah has experienced childbirth. And there's something to be said about when I stub my toe on the end of the bed in the morning and I am in pain, and Sarah says, what happened? I said, I'm in so much pain. And I say something like, and maybe you've uttered that phrase once or twice before to your wife who's had kids, and you say, you know what? I've never experienced more pain than this ever. And there's silence, because then the moment that that comes out of your mouth, you're like, she's like, excuse me? Let me tell you about pain, right? And maybe that's, you know, that's two different definitions, right? Of what I think is the most pain I've ever experienced. What Sarah's experienced is the most pain that she's ever experienced. What you have said, the most pain that you have ever experienced. But whatever it is, whatever pain, whatever trials, whatever hurt, whatever circumstance we find ourselves in, no matter what level we think it is, do we not think that God won't prevail? Paul thinks he's going to Rome, ends up in Jerusalem, ends up getting dragged out of the temple, beaten by 40 people, put in prison for 2 years before he ever gets put on a boat to go to Rome. Are we willing to sacrifice for the sake of the gospel? Are we willing to act and really open our eyes to see where God is calling us? As we go out this week, again, things are going to change from day to day, from hour to hour, from morning to afternoon. I think it would be silly for us to think that God doesn't know what he's doing. I think that if we look at this and truly trust him in this, that we're able to really see where we've been called this whole time. I believe that God has, despite all the chaos that seems around us, God is putting the church into this new place where all of a sudden we're individuals in our neighborhoods and having to be and dwell only in our neighborhoods right now. And God has put us there for a reason. And we need to be willing to use it. I firmly believe that throughout the chaos, God is in control. And next week, when we take a look at this, we're gonna say even more so, how do we act in times of trials? Going beyond just saying our ministry, our place of ministry may change, and really saying, how do we react? If we believe that God is in control, then we should react like he is. I'm looking forward to this. I'm looking forward to the fact that we've been able to come together. And again, even though that I'm far away and you are right there in your living room, we still get to do this. But the important thing is that we don't just turn off the TV or the computer or our phone. but that we actually talk about this as a family. As you sit there and you watch us right now, whether it's with friends or family or even by yourself, ask yourself and start that dialogue. What is going to look like to you? And what is your place of ministry right now? Knowing that God is in control. Let's pray. God, I thank you for today. I thank you that we can come together as people from all different houses and neighborhoods and countries to hear where you're calling us. But God, we need to realize that you are in control. We need to realize that our places of ministry have changed from where they were last week. But you are in control. We need to realize that our own personal preferences of where we'd like to be have changed. But you are in control. That your will be done. God, you've been preparing us for this moment. You've been preparing us to serve those around who are in need. Our prayer this week is that you will soften our hearts to act and open our ears to just hear where you're calling us. Thank you for who you are. We thank you for where you've put us. And we know that your mission has not changed. I pray that we are able to go and build your kingdom even in what seems like chaos. And I just pray these things all in your amazing name. Amen. Sunrise, thank you for letting me join you this morning. I'm looking forward to next week where I get to join you again and we get to build on this and take a look at a whole new picture of what it means for God to be in control. And maybe for us even a new aspect of who God is. And so I'm excited. So take care, stay safe, learn how to serve your neighbors in the context that you are right now. And I firmly believe that even in a time of crisis and chaos, God's kingdom will grow. Take care, and we will see you next week.